Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Talladega, you're in the Pit Stop with Tenda Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
I'm Daniel Hammer, driver number 14, California Clean Power Chevrolet. You're listening to the Pit Stop with Tenda Spain.
Tim?
I got you now. Can you hear me, Reverend?
Okay. I can hear you now.
Yeah, I got you, bud. How's it going out there?
Going crazy today, but I'm in California trying to get some odds and ends sewed up, so it's been a crazy day. But my lovely wife reminded me to call you, so I'm here.
Reverend Joe, thank you very much. You got the floor. Let's get everything started.
All right. Lord, we come before you. And we ask your mercy upon us. We ask you to be with us all. We ask you to bless all those who are suffering, especially be with my good friend Scott Cipadelli and his whole family and all the friends of Tori after that horrible loss that we suffered. But please, Lord, be with everyone. Comfort everyone who's suffering. Watch over all of our race fans, all of our racing officials, all of those involved in auto racing all over the country and all over the world. Be safe. Be with them. And bless them in Jesus' name. I also ask you to bless our troops and our government and all those making the decisions that affect all of our lives. So please, Lord, give us guidance and protection in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff. Great invocation. I know you said you're in California trying to get some stuff going on, but I know your time's limited. If you want to go ahead and let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website, you got the full list.
Thank you. Our website is ontrackwithjesus.org. My email is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. My phone number is 951-232-7630. Give me a call anytime. Get in touch. Stay in touch. We're on Facebook. Just look me up on Facebook. Rev Joe Bubico. God bless you all. Have a great week.
God bless you too, Rev. We'll talk about you later, bud.
Thank you. Take care.
Talk to you too. As a good friend, Reverend Joe out there in California. Like I said earlier, we're live. Vegan Nation. I'm Tim Spain. And finally, my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Let's bring him in here and let's get everything going. Come on in the house, Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Stephen, how you doing tonight, bud?
Well, I'm doing just fine. Apparently, you guys down in Alabama are having a good night tonight.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say, I figured you was going to bring up the football game deal. Yeah, and, you know, Suzanne's a big Alabama fan, and I'm an Auburn fan. But, yeah, Suzanne's jumping up down like a you-know-what.
yeah, well, you know, that was a back-and-forth game there for a little while. And, you know, between Clemson and Alabama there, they built up about 40 points there in the fourth quarter. I knew it was going to be a close game out there, and, you know, Alabama wore them down there, and that's all it took, and,
Yeah, you're right, too. You know, Alabama, they just got so much depth. I mean, you know, they wear you down over a – and they got Nick Saban. I mean, you know, what do you say? And Lane Kiffin, which Suzanne don't like Lane Kiffin because he's from Tennessee, but – I'm calling Suzanne. But just to throw this out there, Stephen, what I had texted you about earlier, our good friend Russell Branham, to let all our listeners know who he is, he's the public relations director at Talbot Super Speedway. He is a big Clemson fan. Big, big, big Clemson fan, Stephen. Well, he lost a bet. And, you know, yesterday, I don't know if you've seen, he had his Clemson helmet on and all that. But, yeah, Russell, I am calling you out on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. He lost a bet. Well, he had to wear a national championship T-shirt all day with a houndstooth hat. So I'm pretty sure he's not been happy at work all day at Talbot Super Speedway.
Well, I mean, he did grow up there in South Carolina, so you would figure that he would be a Clemson fan. But he does live in the state of Alabama now, so he's going to have to work on being an Alabama fan these days. But I guess you can't go too far from home, no matter where you live.
Exactly, Steve. And just to let you know, he said he'll never be an Alabama fan since the Auburn Tigers is Tigers. He pulls for Auburn whenever Clemson's not doing well.
Well, my Florida State Seminoles, they didn't do so good, and they lost their last game of the season anyways. But, you know, that's nor here nor there. But just another year, college football's all over with, and I don't know, we're 30-some-odd days before Daytona kicks up, and that's all that really matters at this point.
Exactly, Stephen. Like you and I say, we'll watch football, but, you know, I'm not going to – the sun's going to rise tomorrow. If my team loses, as long as they race on Sunday, I don't care what happens.
That's right. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah, and let's start talking about some stuff. And I know we were going to cover Suzanne and I went and covered the 2016 Expo here at Talbot Short Track. I want to thank you for putting everything out there while Suzanne and I were out there getting you some information. But coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to do a roundtable discussion just to let everybody know who we have coming on. We've got a Cruz Skinner from Skinner Motorsports. He ran his first super late model this weekend, and I think he finished. Don't let me get in line. I'll wait till Cruz comes on. He was the Cruz was the 2015 Sunoco Young Guns Challenge Series champion and the 2015 Talladega Short Track Neesmith Crate Track champion last year. And also we have Miss Anna. She is a development driver for RCR. She's coming on also. And also, I'm trying to find Ronnie Johnson. He won the 2015 Neesmith Championship, Tour Series Championship last night. And he's also in the Dirt Track Hall of Fame. He's going to come on. He wanted to talk to them, young ones there, and get their perspective on what all went down here at the Talladega Short Track. And, Stephen, since we've talked last, we've had a lot of news come out of NASCAR. And I've been looking at your site, and I've been emailing you some stuff, and you've been emailing me some stuff. And the drivers, the eligible drivers and four-man announced for the 2016 Sprint Unlimited at Daytona. Do you have that in front of you, Stephen, or you want me to cover a little bit about that? If not, you go ahead.
No, I got that in front of me. 25 drivers are going to be eligible this year based on the following format. The 2015 Coors Light pole winners from the previous year, the former Sprint Cup Sprint Unlimited winners, former Daytona 500 Coors Light pole winners, and 2015 Chase eligible drivers, along with the 2015 Sprint Cup Series Championship driver points. All in all, 25 drivers will take the green flag Saturday night, January 13th. A.J. Allmendinger, Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, Casey Kane, Matt Kenseth, Brad Keselowski. Well, Jeff Gordon ain't in this one, so he can't take the flag even though that he's eligible. Joey Logano, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Tony Stewart, Greg Biffle, Austin Dillon, David Gilliland, Danica Patrick, Martin Truex Jr., Clint Bowyer, Jamie McMurray, Paul Menard, Ryan Newman, Eric Almirola, and Kyle Larson will be the drivers that are eligible. Green flag on Friday, February 13th at 8:15 p.m. for 75 laps around Daytona.
And, Stephen, you brought up a good point there. Some of our listeners, I'll let you explain it because you know a lot more about it than I do. It's not the 24 car. It's the driver, Jeff Gordon, correct? With him stepping out of the seat, him being the driver was the only deal eligible. The 24 car is not eligible to run the Sprint Unlimited, correct?
That is correct, because it's based on the Coors Light pole winner. He was the pole winner at Daytona last year, and therefore he is not. Since he is not in the 24 car nor entered into the season, he is not going. The 24 car is not eligible to run in the Sprint Unlimited.
Okay, and you've also broke some news on your site since we last talked. We've had the owner of or the general manager of Dominion Raceway up there in Sportsmania, Virginia, on last year. They're going to get their first NASCAR race, the NASCAR Titanium Pro Series. You know, that's on your site, SpeedwayDigest.com also. Would you like to touch on a little bit about that?
Yeah, so for what most people don't know is that Dominion Raceway used to be a racetrack in Northern Virginia that unfortunately closed down a couple of years ago, and the owners decided to move this a little south of the Washington, D.C. area and have built a new track, 4/10 mile speedway, that also includes a road course and some other amenities up there in between Richmond and Washington, D.C. area. The first race is going to take place Saturday, April 9th. They will be under the NASCAR banner with the NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series for their inaugural season in NASCAR. And they will also be racing in the NASCAR K&N Series this year for their first year on Monday, May 30th in the ComServe Memorial Day Classic. The NASCAR K&M Pro Series East race was moved from Langley Speedway to Dominion Raceway for this event. So they've got a fully booked season this year to really bring this new track online out there, and I'm going to make a trip out there hopefully in the next couple of weeks and take a look and see what they got going on out there, because it really looks like a really nice racetrack. They've already been out there and practiced a couple times since they've laid the asphalt a couple of weeks ago.
Sounds good, Steven. And whenever you head out that way, if you want to try to see if you can get somebody to, you know, come on the show one night, we'd be glad to have them on also. And just to touch a little bit, I mean, you know, Hendrick Motorsports made a big announcement today. I'm trying to think. Oh, Daytona. They sent out the schedule for speed weeks and everything else. Do you have that? Would you like to share that with everybody?
Yeah, we'll touch on just a couple of things out here. As we already talked about, the Sprint Unlimited, Saturday, February 13th, 75 laps at 8:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time out there. Cars will be on the track on Friday, February 12th for a couple of practices out there. Daytona 500 qualifying for the pole and outside pole qualifying, 1:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday, February 14th. Now, we skip out a few days out here, not a whole lot going on. We move on into Thursday. The duels at the Daytona, the Can-Am duels, are going to be run. The first duel is going to be run at 7 p.m. The second duel is going to be run at 9 p.m. on Thursday. Friday the 19th, Camping World Truck Series is going to open up their season out there at 7:30 p.m., 100 laps competition out there. Saturday, the Xfinity Series, 3:30 p.m., 120 laps. And the 58th annual running of the Great American Race, the Daytona 500, 1 p.m., February 21st out there.
Sounds good, Steven. And just to throw something out there, you know, you and I both broke this. I think we were the first sites to break it because it came out this morning from Hendrick Motorsports. Panasonic Toughbook and Hendrick Motorsports continue their partnership. This season, Panasonic will be featured as the number 5 team primary sponsor in 2 Sprint Cup races. February 28th at Atlanta Motor Speedway, which Suzanne and I will be there, and October 2nd at Dover International Speedway, and an associate-level partner in all other events. And Panasonic became a Hendrick Motorsport technology partner, I think it was 2007, Stephen, somewhere in there, and expanded its program. In the 2014, by adding on car sponsorship, it was a two-race primary sponsor of the number 24 Sprint Cup team in 2014 and 2015 as part of its current three-year agreement that runs through 2016. That's a big step for Hendrick Motorsports, correct, Steve?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And I'm trying to find you. There's so much stuff is broke. Do you have anything top of your head you'd like to share with everybody and let them know?
Yeah, well, Rich Travis Racing also announced early on today that Menards is going to obviously continue their sponsorship there in the NASCAR Xfinity Series with the number 2 Chevrolet. The car this year is going to be split between Paul Menard, who's going to be in the car for a limited amount of time this year. But Brandon Jones is going to be moving up into this car. He ran it a couple times last year, but ran a majority of the Camping World Truck Series events last year with GMS Racing. But he's going to take on a more full-time role in this car for 2016, moving over into this program here with Richard Childress Racing. He's been a development driver for the last couple of years, moving up throughout the series from the ARCA series, and last year he was running a majority of the races in the Camping World Truck Series. It was a very select Xfinity series, but this year he's going to be moving up, running a few more Xfinity series events than he has in the past.
Sounds good, bud. And, David, if we can, hey, listeners, let's take a little short break before we got coming up at the bottom of the hour. We've got all three guests coming on today. We're going to try to do the round table. We'll try to keep it where nobody's stepping on toes and everything. But the number to call in is 215-383-3681. We're live from Talladega, Alabama. You're in the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
Best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world. You can beat the war. You can talk the guy go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up. You can beat the clock. Yeah. You can move a mountain. You can break rocks. You can be a master. Don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the world.
Distance,
walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, get the gold, breaking all the records you thought never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. You're never gonna know if you never even try. Do it for your country, do it for your name, 'cause there's gonna be a day when you're dead.
From Vega Nation. I'm Tim Spain alongside my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Number to call in is 215-383-3681. Got a big show tonight. And, Stephen, also, I think we forgot about something. You know, NASCAR, the new NASCAR Fusion body, the new Ford Fusion body was out there. I think it was Monday. You broke out on SpeedwayDigest.com, too. And it's a neat looking car.
Yeah, the Ford is debuting the new 2017 Ford Fusion that will be in competition starting in Daytona of this year. They've been working with NASCAR over the last several months since last year. They've changed the entire body and ground effects on the car. The front and rear deck lids have also been changed on the car. To provide for better downforce into the car, especially working with the new downforce package that are going to be brought on this year, especially with the lower downforce package, which is what they really were working on to provide better competition in the Ford camp to close in on some of the Chevrolet and Toyotas that have in the last couple of years really excelled in some of those areas.
Yeah, and, you know, Ford, you know, to let listeners know, you know, NASCAR goes through these body changes and all that kind of stuff, but which it sort of goes by the manufacturer, too. You know, whatever the manufacturer, you know, NASCAR's getting back. They got away from the car tomorrow, Stephen, and trying to get back to, you know, me and you've talked about it 100,000 times. Went on Sunday, sell on Monday. They're trying to get back to the actual body style of the manufacturer, correct?
Yeah, you know, NASCAR, you know, after the car tomorrow, a lot of what they've decided to do is they really started working with the manufacturers themselves to get more and closer to what you would see on the street. This has been something that has been a matter of debate over the last couple of years, especially with the NASCAR fans, is what you see on the racetrack really isn't something that you see on the street. And the manufacturers themselves really wanted to see something, and the NASCAR fans really wanted to see something that were more brand identifiable. And this was something that all three manufacturers really went to NASCAR with several years ago when the Gen 6 car was thought about. And they've really worked on this to really get more brand identity in these cars so that it's just not a sticker or a headlight or something on a car. It's now starting to resemble something more that's identifiable to something that you see on the street. Now, obviously, these are purpose-built race cars, and, you know, you have to keep that in mind. But this isn't something that is, you know, the car of tomorrow, which was absolutely nothing that you would have seen on the street.
Exactly. And, Stephen, one more thing before we come up on the bottom of the aisle. I know there's been a lot of news, and I know listeners, we're trying to get everything out there before we get to our guests. But Joey Gase partners with a nonprofit, Racing to Cure, to assist families fighting cancer. I read that on your site. If anybody wants to read this, you go to speedwaydigest.com. Stephen has everything out there. I can't remember how big it is. Is it a 4-year deal or something, Stephen, or am I jumping over the fence too far? It's a four-race deal. I'm sorry. You want to talk a little bit about that?
It's a four-race deal. Yeah, it's a four-race deal for 2016 NASCAR Xfinity Series. I don't remember all the particulars into it. I'd have to go back and look at it.
Okay. I'm looking at your site now. Racing the Cure is proud to announce a four-race deal. There you go. With Comcast Community 2015 champion and NASCAR Xfinity Series driver Joey Gase for 2016 season. Racing the Cure will be a primary sponsor of Gase's number 52 Chevrolet Camaro at Daytona in July, Kentucky in September, and Homestead, Miami, as well as a major associate sponsor at Bristol in April. The partnership will take Racing the Cure's involvement with Gase to a new level to continue to raise funds for families fighting cancer. And, you know, as well, my good friend Joey Gase, I talk to him all the time. He's a good young man. He's finally getting some help. Maybe him and Jimmy Means Racing can get everything together, bud, maybe come on up through the ranks.
Yeah, this is a good deal for him to be able to get some sponsorship on some of these races out there. You know, him and Jimmy Means last year definitely did put together some of these programs and kind of had to struggle a little bit in this. But, you know, all in all, hopefully 2016 will be better for him, and especially on this sponsorship deal that they've already put in place and announced.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, I know this is a big deal, too. It's been all over social media, and I think you were probably one of the first ones to break it. The Richard Petty Motorsports, a tradition, returns with the 44th number on the Twisted T. You want to talk a little bit about that, Steve?
Yeah, Richard Petty Motorsports announced earlier this week that last year they ran the number 9 car, and they've run the number 9 car for the last couple of years with various drivers, Marcus Ambrose, and last year with Sam Hornish Jr. But this year they're going to return to one of the historical Petty numbers, the number 44 car. This car has been run throughout the years with the Petty family. Kyle Petty has drove this and many other drivers throughout Petty Enterprises history. So this will be a return after several years of this car not being run. So this is a good effort by them to restore, to return some history back into NASCAR and also Petty Enterprises after all of these years.
Yeah, sounds good, Stephen. I knew you wanted to get that out there, just trying to help you out. And, Stephen, let's all the wait on our guests to come on and do our big roundtable. Again, listeners, the number calling is 215-383-3681. We've got a good friend from upstate New York. His home track is Watkins Glen. My good friend Tyler Bigfoot. Let's bring Tyler into Pit Stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Tyler, how's it going, bud?
Well, it's going good. I want to say, Tim, I'm very proud of all your hard work and Steven's hard work of keeping everybody updated on everything that's going on. I enjoy being able to go on to keep up with everything and know exactly what's going on. And, Steven, I'm thinking about you because we're getting 4 to 7 inches of snow tonight.
You can keep it.
I knew you were going to say that.
I knew that was coming. Well, Todd, thank you for the kind words, and we really appreciate you being a good supporter. We try to get everything out there, just like Steve and I have talked a bunch of times. We try to get everything we can out there, the truth, and not a bunch of rumor stuff. We try to put the truth out there and let everybody know what all is going on. And I think Steven does a real good job of it on SpeedwayDigest.com.
Yes, he does.
Well, good. Todd, what is your real quick? I think Suzanne's got a caller. I don't know who it is. Real quick, Todd, who are you going to pick to win the 2016 Sprint Cup Series Championship?
You know, I got to go with Dell Jr.
Oh, my goodness. That's Stephen, that's Todd and Suzanne. My goodness. Well, I bet that's from me. All right, Todd, I'm going to put you back over in mute. If that's okay, we'll get ready to do our roundtable. And hang on there, and I'll bring you back on in a little bit and let you ask some of these drivers some questions, if that's okay with you, bud.
You sure is, bud.
All right. Todd Biggs from upstate New York, his home track, Watkins Glen, putting Todd back in mute. And we've got them all lined up here. We've got Anna Parkhurst, driver development. Let's see, I'm a driver development driver for Richard Childress Racing. We've got Ronnie Johnson, your 2015 Naismith Touring Series champion, also a Dirt Hall of Famer. So I'm gonna bring both of them on. We're still waiting on Cruz to come on. So we're gonna welcome Anna and Ronnie into the pit stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Anna, how you doing tonight, sweetie?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I see Ronnie's on too. Ronnie, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing just fine.
Well, thank you very much for taking time out to come on the show. We're still waiting on Cruz. But I want to introduce y'all to my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Stephen, you got the floor with Ayers Cruz. Hold on a minute, y'all. Hold on a minute. I see Cruz. Let's bring driver of the number 11. Well, don't let me miss it. Let's just bring Cruz Skinner in the pit stop, Timmy Spain, and Stephen Wilson, everybody else. Where's my button? Here it is.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Cruz, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. We got everybody here. We've got you. We've got Anna. We've got Ronnie. And now I want to start over. For all three of y'all, I want to introduce you to my good friend and CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com from Richmond, Virginia, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Stephen, you got the floor, bud. I'll step aside. Y'all go and just try to not to talk over each other, and then I'll jump in later.
Hey, you want me to start with this round table? Well, I'm not very good with these round table discussions, but I'll go ahead.
Go ahead, Stephen, or if you want me to go, whatever you want to do.
No, you start this conversation off because you were at the Ice Bowl, so I want you to start this thing off, and I'm going to jump in here.
Okay, well, all right. I'm going to jump in here. All right, I'm going to start with Cruz. Cruz, like we talked earlier, at the short track for the 2016 Ice Bowl, this was your first ever running of a super late model, and you've done awesome, bud. You want to talk a little bit about your run?
Thank you, first of all. And, yes, sir, I mean, that was our first time in that car and that motor, and that was my first time running anything bigger than a 525. And, I mean, we just had a very good weekend, a lot of learning and, you know, a lot of experience gained. I mean, the first two nights, I mean, the first night, I was just getting the hang of it, and then the second day, I mean, we was real fast. We was second quick in one of the sessions and somewhere in the top 15 in the other session. So, I mean, we just had a really good weekend in the Super. We started 11th and finished 13th. And, I mean, that was just a whole lot of fun, just going out there and competing with, you know, all the drivers I grew up watching on the Internet or watching whenever I traveled, go watch a race or something like that. And, I mean, I just have so much respect for all those guys that I race against. And, I mean, I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And you also had your crate car there, too, didn't you, Cruz? Don't let me mess up and say you did you?
I'm sorry, sir?
Did you have your crate car there too, also, Cruz?
Oh, yes, sir. We had a crate car there, and, I mean, we had a very good run in it. The first couple of days, we was really fast in practice, and we had a problem in qualifying, and we started sixth in the heat race and finished third, so we started 14th, I believe it was, in the feature, and worked our way up to sixth, and was battling for fifth, and I mean, we just had a very good car, and just a lot. We have a lot of experience at Talladega in a crate car and in the CVR. So I mean, I was very pleased with our weekend, and I mean, I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And talking about the crate, well, I got the crate fifth brought up here. I got Cruz finished sixth in the main, and I'm gonna tell y'all, folks, listeners, this is no when you finish sixth in the main out of 300 something cars. You've done something, especially here at Talladega Shorter. I'm telling you, the stand was packed. There was cars parked up and down all the way up and down Speedway Boulevard. But, Anna, you finished 21st in the main. You made the main also. Would you like to talk a little bit about your crate car?
Yes, sir. Compared to last year's Ice Bowl, this was real good because last year that was one of my first races ever in a crate car. So it was fun to get out there this year and actually prove we had speed all weekend. We were quick Thursday and Friday in practice and ended up qualifying fifth on Saturday and then ran second in the heat race and started 11th in the main and just got bad luck after that, had problems with the motor and the handling. So we ended up pulling off and finishing 21st. But overall, I was happy with the weekend because we proved we had speed all weekend long. So I was very happy with it.
And, Ronnie, I want to thank you for taking time out, too, to come on. You were the 2015 Neesmith Tour Series champion last year. You're also in the Dirt Track Hall of Fame. Am I correct, Ron?
That's correct.
Okay. Would you like to talk to these two up-and-coming drivers, or you got the floor, bud?
I just want to tell them that I'm proud of their runs this weekend. You know, Anna, she's failed to tell you that she actually had fast time in her group. The cars were split up into groups. And she had fast time in her group. She started on the pole of the heat race. And I didn't go to the Ice Bowl this year, but I was trying to keep up with it at home and certainly watch the videos of the heat races and the features, you know, when they post them. And she has just really come a long ways. The first time I ever saw Anna, of course, I live in Chattanooga, and we got Boyd Speedway here. And occasionally I'll drop by the racetrack just to see what's going on, you know, midweek and if I'm out that way or if we're going to race there that weekend, you know, I'll drop by. And I dropped by and she was riding around in a vehicle with Dale McDowell. Dale was, you know, giving her some pointers. And I think it was the first day she'd ever driven a, you know, any late model type car. So I didn't actually see her drive that day, but I've been keeping up with her ever since then, and she certainly, you know, matured as a driver, you know, with these cars, and was proud of the run she had down there, even though it didn't turn out so well in the main event. And I think Cruz had they missed something on their car there before they qualified Saturday, and it got them behind, and but to run the Ice Bowl and get through the weekend without any damage is just so many cars. And, you know, Talladega short track is that. It's a short track. There's a lot of action going on a small amount of real estate there. So he was able to bring her home in one piece and had a good run in there. And probably the problem they had was a distraction because he was trying to run that first super late model race, which he had, you know, I was very, very proud of him to, you know, to run third in his heat race with, you know, with the super late model guys. And, of course, you have super late model guys that run the crate series, too, you know, that run both classes. And, you know, I was pointing out to my wife last night, I pulled that video up, and Anna started on the pole beside Ray Cook. And, you know, Ray's been racing a long time and beat Anna in the heat race, but you know, Ray's the kind of guy that would, you know, he's not gonna mistreat a young driver and gonna take care of him. And you certainly can learn from those guys. So hats off to both Anna and Cruz for the runs this weekend.
Exactly, Ronnie. And, you know, just like I mentioned earlier, you take a young man like Cruz, you take a young lady like Anna, and, you know, with so many cars out there, to even make it to the main, that is a huge accomplishment, correct?
It is, because, you know, you look at you look at the people that don't make the race, and, you know, it's hard to judge those drivers when you see the ones that didn't make the race, because they're all good drivers and they all have good equipment, but, you know, some days you just can't find the speed, and some days you have a problem, and sometimes you have a little problem, and it just puts you in a hole and you can't recover from it. Making the race itself, you know, is a big accomplishment. Like Cruz said, he's raced a lot at Talladega. He knows the place. He doesn't have anything to prove there. They got behind a little bit because they were trying to run two cars, but he recovered and moved up through there. Like I said, finished the race sixth place, I think, and, again, a good run in the late model. You know, but both of them, there's a lot of eyes on both of those drivers right there for sure.
Exactly. There sure is, Ronnie. And I'm going to hand y'all three over to Stephen, and I'll step aside because I know Stephen broke I don't know if he was the first one to break it, but he broke the news on SpeedwayDigest.com about Anna signing that Southern, that little truck deal that she signed. But anyway, I'm going to let y'all have Stephen Wilson, and Stephen, when you get done, we'll take a couple of callers. The phone lines have blown up. I know Todd wants to come in, but go ahead, Stephen. I'll step aside.
Anna, as part of your development deal, you're with Fridge Chose Racing, you're also going to run the full-time in the Southeastern Super Truck Series this year. Talk a little bit about that and what you're going to be able to go out there and learn in that series, and talk a little bit also about your development deal with Richard Childress Racing.
Yes, sir. First of all, I just want to thank everyone over at RCR for giving me the opportunities that we've had that last year and that we'll have this year, and also at the Southeastern Super Truck Series for giving us the ride this year. But it's going to be a good year for us because I'll still be running about 35 to 40 dirt races on top of the 13 asphalt races in the truck. And that'll be my first time racing asphalt, so there will definitely be a lot to learn there, just the transition, a lot of throttle control that I'll have to learn compared to the dirt stuff that I usually do back home. So that'll be different and a lot to learn, but I know I'm going to have great guys behind me with everyone with the truck series and everyone over at RCR, especially Austin and Ty, Dylan and Ryan Gifford. So we'll have plenty of help and there will be lots to learn, but we'll get it pretty quick and hopefully we can make a name this year in that series.
Cruz, and obviously you're, for what most people probably don't know and listen to you here on the radio, you're a really young guy. I believe you're only in ninth or tenth grade. So when they listen to you on the radio and they listen to some of the experience that you have and then going out there this weekend and racing the ice ball and a super late model out there, talk a little bit about just that experience and being able to go out there, especially at your young age, and going out there and competing against some of these drivers that are, especially some of these veterans out there, what you were able to learn from them and just some of the advice that just being out there this weekend and what it's done for you as a driver this weekend and what you're going to be able to do later on this year in those super late models.
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, it's just a lot of fun just going out there and racing against the guys I grew up watching and racing against, I mean, a lot of them raced against my dad when he was racing, too. So, I mean, it's just so much fun being able to go out there and race people with so much experience and learn, not only learn from them just talking to me, but learn from their driving. I mean, I learn a lot just by watching people drive. I mean, just people like Jason Hyatt and William Thomas, Ray Cook, people like him, I grew up watching my dad race against, and I mean, it was just so much fun, and I just gained so much experience and knowledge this weekend, being able to go out there and race against and watch those guys. And this year in the Super, our plan is kind of go around and pick and choose what Super shows we want to go to, and where we think we can get some track time, and, you know, just gain as much knowledge as we can and just try to excel in that. And then in the crate car, we're going to travel around, run a good bit of the Neesmith Touring Series races, and we're just going to go try to win as many races as we can.
And Ronnie, this question is for you. And you see a lot of these drivers, and you've given them a lot of advice already on here. When you see these drivers up and coming throughout the series, and the young drivers coming up these days, it really shows that the lifeblood of the sport is getting younger and younger every year. We see it especially in not only the dirt tracks, the short tracks, and even in NASCAR these days, of how young it's really getting and the talent that is coming up throughout the series. But when you look at these two drivers out here, and you've pointed out some other things already this weekend at the past Ice Bowl out there, what is one piece of advice that you could give to them from all your years of experience, and where do you also see the series or the drivers of the future going?
Well, as far as advice goes, is just to understand that racing is a huge commitment. You know, it's a sport that you got to be all in to excel, and there's a lot of ups and downs in it. And you got to have some patience with that, but certainly to race as much as I can. Just like Cruz said, go to a race. The Ice Bowl is one thing. Like for Cruz, for example, that's they had all those cars there, but he knows the racetrack and has some experience there. It doesn't make any sense to take off and follow some big series or something and go to races and tracks that you might not make the show at, because you're not going to gain any experience if you don't get laps under your belt. So, what he's saying there, pick and choose the races, race as much as you can, try to make every lap count, and understand that it's not always going to go well. There's only one winner, but you got to keep striving for that. But just race a lot. That would be my advice. And treat everybody with respect. You won't always get it back, but for the most part, you will. And for advice, that's probably my advice there. As far as certainly the age bracket for up and coming drivers is certainly getting younger. And I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, but I didn't even start driving. I mean, I've been around cars all my life. I never drove a race car until I was 17. I drove on the street maybe late 13, 14 years old. And again, I was around cars all my life. My dad raced, my uncles had cars and raced in some form, whether it be circle track racing or drag racing. My dad won the first World 600 at Charlotte in 1960, and I wasn't there. I'm 5 years old at the time, but I certainly was following the sport. But now, someone that would start driving it at 17 would be, at least 4 years behind at this point. It seems like, as with anything, time changes things, and it appears that there's more, maybe a little more assistance available, for the younger driver, which is a great thing. You can... To go to the top levels of the sport, you definitely got to be marketable, being young and attractive is certainly a good tool there, and both of these young drivers that we've got on the show certainly fit the bill there. They're marketable, young and attractive, and so there's not enough seats in the world for everybody. You have to realize that, like in cup racing, I don't know the actual number, but there's probably, you got 43 drivers that make a show on a Sunday, and there's, in reality, I don't know how many car owners there are there that own those cars, but probably 30 maybe, because there's multi-car teams. So you've got hundreds and hundreds of, great young talents who will never even get the chance to prove themselves. And you got to get out there and race, and you got to show that commitment and that determination. And obviously it's a, this is an old cliche, but it is a performance-driven sport. So you got to be successful. You got to turn somebody's head so they want to take a chance and see that you have the whole package. You're capable, you're marketable, you can get along with the fans and the sponsors. And but again, you got to be successful. You got to make a showing on the racetrack to have any staying power in the sport.
Well, I appreciate you all answering all the questions that I have for you. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim because I'm sure he's got a couple more, and I'm sure we got a couple questions from everybody that's calling in. Congratulations on everybody this past weekend at the Ice Bowl.
Thanks, David. All right, Ronnie, Cruz, I've got online my good friend, upstate New York. He's a big supporter of the show. His home track is Watkins Glen. His name's Todd Bigsby. I want to bring Todd Bigsby in here. I'm sure he has a question or two to ask, so let's see what Todd has to say. Todd, have you got me, bud?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're back in the pit stop with Anna Parkhurst, Ronnie Johnson, and Cruz Skinner.
Well, Cruz, I want to say, I'm very proud of all your racing. I enjoy keeping up on all your accomplishments. Anna, when RCR had announced you being their development driver, I sent you a friend request. You instantly added me. I love women in the sport, and I'm so much looking forward to keeping up on your progress and your accomplishments for 2016.
Thank you.
Ronnie, I know you said you've been racing for a long time. I didn't catch how many years you've been racing.
Well, actually, I started racing, I just had my 60th birthday, and my first race that I drove in was at age 17. So I've been doing it for like over 40 years, and the first few years raced just right here close to home. And as I said, my dad had been in racing, but it was kind of a mixed bag of support there. Sometimes he was for me, and sometimes he'd rather see me do something else. I grew up watching my dad, struggle to get good rides and struggle to get financing. And when he was driving for a guy out of Atlanta, when they won that World 600 at Charlotte, it looked like they were starting to get things rolling. And his car owner, Paul McDuffie, got killed in a pit accident at Darlington the next year. So, or it could have even been later on that year. I'm not sure. Again, I would have been 5 years old. But so my dad knew what the heartbreaks, and how much, sacrifice you have to put into this. So it was probably a good 5 or 6 years after I started racing that I really took it serious and decided that that's what I wanted to do. Well, honestly, I guess I always knew what I wanted to do with my life, but it was probably a few years and until I just, you know, completely threw myself into it 100%. So for a good 35 years, I've been racing. This is what I do.
Well, keep up the good work, and I'm very proud of all your years of hard work and effort into your racing.
Well, thank you. I like to say that this whole culture is, you know, we do all this because it's a passion of ours, no matter what the role, you know, no matter if you're a driver, a car owner, a sponsor, a track official, a track owner, or a race fan. You know, we all have a huge passion for the sport, and it takes, you know, all of us to make the racing world go around. So thank you for being a fan.
You're welcome. And Cruz, what's the most you're looking forward to in 2016?
Really, this year, I'm just really looking forward to, I'm really looking forward to running some super races and being able to go out there and just get more experience with a bigger motor and the new car and just really going out there and racing against all the guys driving supers. And like Ronnie said, a lot of them are running crates, so I've ran against a lot of them, and just going and traveling around and gaining more experience. I mean, I'm really looking forward to, like I said, getting in that bigger motor and traveling and going to new places, just gaining experience and just going out there and having fun.
Well, I want to thank each and every one of you, and Anna, keep up your good work.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Todd. That's our good friend from Watkins Glen. And, lady and gentlemen, I know we've kept y'all a long time, but do y'all have time to take one more caller? I got my good friend, Ratty from Wayne Peterson Motorsports in the ARCA Racing Series. He's waiting. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I got plenty of time.
Yeah, put them
okay.
On there.
All right, thanks, Tom. It's my good friend, Rowdy, from Carbon Hill, Alabama. Works with Wayne Peterson Motorsports, the ARCA Racing Series. That's playing Rowdy into the pit stop. The team is playing Stephen Wilson and everybody else.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Right, how's everything over in Carbon Hill tonight, bud? You doing okay?
Cold, and I'm doing great. Everything's great.
All right. Ratty, I know you were at the ISO also. We've got Stephen Wilson, SteveWithDiet.com. We've got Cruz Skinner. We've got Anna Parkhurst. And we've got Ronnie Johnson, member of the Dirt Track Hall of Fame. You got the floor. They agreed to take one more caller. You can go through them however you want to.
All right. Hey, great show tonight. Ronnie, I only have one question for you. How young is too young to be racing?
I don't think that you can put an age limit on that. You know, I'm seeing a lot of I mentioned earlier, you know, showing my wife a video of, you know, Anna's heat race. And, of course, you know, she doesn't know Anna. She hears me talk about her. And but she knows Cruz. Cruz has been to the house a time or two. And so, you know, I'm showing her those heat races. And, of course, you got all these cars. You know, you had a big turnout. So I'm pointing out to her that, okay, here's Will Rowland from Jasper, Georgia. I think he's 13 or 14. Here's Tyler Clem from, you know, the Tampa area. He's 13 or 14. And, you know, all of these young drivers have either already done well, or you can see it coming. And you know, I have a friend in Powder Springs, Georgia, Derek Rainey. His son raced a crate car for the first time at the Ice Bowl. He's 11 years old, and you know, he didn't make a great showing, but it was his first race. And it you know, if these kids have got some guidance and, you know, some decent equipment, and it'd be no different if you were involved in any other sport. You know, if you put your, you know, notice the grindstone, put yourself to it, and you keep coming, eventually it's going to happen. But I don't think there's an age limit that you can put on it. I'm sure there's probably a case, but I see a lot of young drivers now, especially you know, the Crate Series is something that I race primarily, and you know, have run the super late models, have been to, you know, most of the big races, the crown jewels as I call them, you know, in years past. What fits for me right now is the crate races. So I see a lot of up and comers in that series, and I can't really say that I know of an instance where I thought somebody needed to be gotten off the track because they were too young. I mean, I could go on and on. I've just mentioned two or three names there. There's just tons of. There's a young man from Pennsylvania. His name is Michael Lake. Man, that guy, you see him ride six pits on a four-wheeler, and what in the world would that young man have a driving suit on for? And I've seen him have fast time at a couple of the bigger crate races that we've gone to. I mean, he gets out there and he just wheels that car. And, again, it just takes a lot of determination and a real passion for the sport. And, you know, if you want it, you're going to get it.
Well, it's a great sport for young people to be in. There's a lot of leadership there. I appreciate it, Ronnie.
Yeah, and I'd like to add one more thing before you go to and cruise. You know, it is a great thing for a youngster to be involved in. There's certainly worse places that they could be than the racetrack. So I'm proud to see all of them, you know, getting involved.
Thank you, Ronnie. Cruz, my question to you is, what age was you when you actually first started?
Well, I started racing in go-karts when I was 5 years old, and we had good success in them, and I raced those for 5 years. Then when I was 10 years old, I moved up into a V6 front-wheel drive car. I drove a little 96 Nissan Maxima, and, I mean, you know, we just went to Talladega, Green Valley, Rome a little bit, just went around as much as we could and had decent success in it, and raced those for 2 years. Then in my second year of that, when I was 12, I also raced a couple asphalt races in a four-cylinder Honda Civic, so I mean, I just had a lot of racing experience while I was young. Then when I was 12, we finally made the jump into the crate late model and just kind of raced locally and tried to get experience. And this upcoming season will be my third year in a late model and my tenth year overall racing. But, I mean, I just wouldn't have been able to progress that fast without people behind me, like Lonnie Dawson in the go-karts, and I mean, Ronnie has been a huge help to me, I mean, in the late models, and I mean, he showed me the do's and the don'ts, and he's helped me on driving style and driving tips, how to adjust to the track, how to save your tires, and I mean, whenever I go to, I mean, all through the week, me and Ronnie will be texting back and forth a little bit, and if I'm going to a new track, I'll text him and ask him what he knows about it, and I mean, I'll have to sit there scrolling for about 10-15 minutes reading everything he's sent me, and I mean, that's just how big of a help he is to me. And I mean, I've just always looked up to him growing up, and I mean, I just feel so fortunate having people like him behind me. And once I moved up into a late model, Dale McDowell has also helped me a lot. I mean, I went through his driving school, and I mean, he's just, both of them just been a huge part of my career, and I just really wanted to thank them for everything I've done, and I mean, I just want them to go out there and just help anybody else they can, and I mean, just try to grow the sport.
Well, Suzanne and Tim, we walked through the pits, and Coach, you got some good-looking equipment. You got some good-looking equipment. I appreciate it.
I mean, thank you, and I mean, I really appreciate that, and I just wanted to, like I said, just I really hope that the sport can grow more and more, and I mean, I know that not everybody is as fortunate, and not everybody can have as good as equipment as everybody else, or not everybody can have a car like Blomqvist or Davenport, but I mean, I'm just very fortunate to have what I have, and I appreciate everybody that's gotten behind me and helped me.
Thank you, Cruz. Anna, my question to you is, what inspired you to be a female race car driver?
Well, we hadn't been around racing at all until I turned about 10 years old. Nobody in my family had ever done it or anything like that. So when I turned 10, we started going to a lot of NASCAR races and things like that. And then that led to some of the dirt races down here at home at Modoc Speedway in South Carolina. And I was at a NASCAR race one day in 2010, and things just kind of clicked for me, and I decided, like, hey, that's what I wanted to do. I think just interacting with all the different drivers, with Kevin Harvick and Austin and Ty and people like that, I just kind of clicked for me that that was something I really wanted to do, watching them race and also watching them off the track and interacting with the fans and things like that. So I just kind of said I wanted that. That's what I wanted to do for a little bit. And then in August 2013, Richard Childress was like, what would you like to be when you grow up? And I was like, I want to be a race car driver. So he asked my dad, like, hey, we want to develop a girl driver. What do you think about Anna driving for us? And my dad said, like, heck yeah, that's a great opportunity. Also, like Cruz said, not a lot of people get opportunities like that. So it was good to get that. And then we got the go-karts, and I ran those for a year. And then 2015 was my first full year of late models. So just getting the opportunities like that and realizing we had something to work off of, and just running a lot now. So we'll run this year in the crate, and we'll run in a 525, and we'll have a super motor in a car too, and then the asphalt stuff. So we'll have a busy year with the four cars, but just blessed to have the opportunities we have. So looking forward to this year.
Well, good luck, Anna, and hope Cruz, you too. Hope to see you someday. In person, I was invited to come over, and I absolutely had a great time at the track. And for everybody that didn't show up at the ISPO, put it down and show up next year. It's a great, great place to go and hang out for a weekend.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I just wanted to say, if you're ever around here, just call us or message us, and, I mean, you can come to the races with us, and you got to open an invitation.
Hey, I appreciate that, Cruz. I just was glad to get back and hear the motor screaming again. I'm tired of watching replays from the past season to be able to get my fix. So it was great to get back down and see race cars again and get to be able to listen to them. Tim, Suzanne, I appreciate y'all inviting me over. I had a great time. Looking forward to next year.
Ratty, you're welcome, bud. Thank you very much for coming over. Like I said, we had a blast, fought through the pits. Like you said, a lot of high-dollar equipment, Rowdy. Rowdy, tell
a lot of money.
You better have. Yes, exactly. Tell you better have Suzanne and I said hello, and we'll talk at you whenever you get a chance to call back in. But we appreciate you too.
All right, thanks a lot, and I will, Tim. Good night, y'all. Good luck.
See you, Rowdy. That's my good friend, Rowdy. With Wayne Peters Motorsports. Stephen, do you have any final thoughts? I know we've kept the lady and gentleman way over what they wanted to. Do you have any final thoughts?
I don't.
Okay. All right. I'm going to start with Cruz. Cruz, thank you very much for taking time out to call in. I'm going to let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, and thank your sponsor. You got the floor, bud.
First of all, I just wanted to thank you for taking time out of your show, letting me come on again. And it was just a blast, and I'm really looking forward to being on it again. And first of all, I just wanted to thank the people that are helping me out a lot this year. I would just want to thank my dad, my crew chief, UB, my neighbor, Doug McKenzie, for all being there and helping out on the car whenever they can. My papa and my mom and my entire family for being there and supporting me. Then the partners on the car, I just want to thank Skinner Body Shop, Skinner Motors, Napa Auto Parts, Hodel House, Austin Hines, the Neesmith Racing Series for putting on such a great series, Kaiser Manufacturing, AR Bodies, Hoosier Tire, Show and Fill Headers, Real Wheel Racing Wheels. I just want to thank Boyd Speedway, David Duplessis, and all the boys there for renewing their contract this year at the Ice Bowl. And I mean, that's just a whole lot of fun being able to go out there and meet and greet all those people that are there, and you know, people coming across the country there to that one area. And I just want to thank Ronnie Johnson once again for all the help he's given me throughout my career. And I mean, I just really appreciate it. And I just wanted to thank Dale McDowell and everybody else that's helped me out. And I mean, I just couldn't do it without y'all. And I mean, I just really appreciate it.
Cruz, thank you very much for the kind words, and we appreciate everything you do for the sport and also the Pit Stop Radio. Anna, you got the floor, sweetie. Let everybody know where they can call you at on social media, and thank you, sponsor.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you all for having me on the show. I enjoyed talking to all y'all and Ronnie and Cruz. And you guys can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Anna Parkhurst. And then we got to thank K&M Filters and UNOH and TGen Foundation for starting the LoriesFund.org page in honor of my mom and her battle with cancer. And Ferris Mowers, Richard Childress Racing, everyone over there, everyone at Team Dillon Racing, Morley Enterprises, Bad Boy Buggies, Hunt Brothers Pizza, and Kevin Harvick helps us out a lot. And then Gary Winger for giving me great shocks every weekend. And CNR and Kaiser and All-Star Performance. And Sparko and Arai for keeping me safe every weekend. FK Rod Ends and Cushman Paint and Body. And I'd also like to thank Dale McDowell for helping me out whenever I need him and coming to as many of my races as I can and always being there on the other end of the phone when I need him. Thank Austin and Ty Dillon for helping me out and since I was in my very first go-kart race. And when we went out and tested at the airstrip, RCR's airstrip, they were there with me. So I want to thank them for helping me out every day and every race. And then my crew chief, Ryan Gifford, for everything he's done for me throughout everything I've done, my go-karts and moving up in the late models and all the different racetracks we've been to. He's been a big help, and he's going to help me. He'll be my spotter in the truck this year, so I'm glad to have him everywhere I go. And just everyone that's ever helped us out and all the guys at the shop, Brian and Andrew Stewart and Michael Steinmeier and my daddy. So just thank you to all them, and thank you guys for having me.
Thank you very much for the kind words, Anna. And Mr. Ronnie Johnson, Dirt Track Hall of Famer. I know you don't have social media because I done looked you up. If you want to thank him,
well,
today, Ronnie.
Actually, I've got a Twitter and a Facebook account, but I use it to gather information. I don't post anything on there, but I certainly can keep up with everybody else and with the racetracks and what's going on. But a couple of things I wanted to mention. I got a kick earlier with both Cruz and Anna. Got a kick out of Cruz when he said when he mentioned when he was young, okay. When he was young, he's still young, but and then with Anna when she was asked what made her choose to be a female race car driver, one of them she didn't have a choice, but I'm glad she chose the other one, and I wish her and Cruz well, and certainly enjoy watching them race and watching their progress, you know, from here forward, and as I have in the past, and hope to get to race with them, and you know, certainly we'll treat them with the same respect that I'm sure that they will treat me and all the other racers.
Exactly, Ronnie, and you know, class act of you, class act of Cruz, honor class act. But before I let y'all go, I got a funny story. Now, I've had this on my mind ever since I've been listening to y'all talk. That's 2016 I spoke. My 40-hour-a-week job is Peach Valley Electric here in Talladega. I work for them. Well, my engineer wanted me to go out to Talladega Short Track today. There's a meter on the backstretch back there, and he wanted me to take some pictures and stuff. So I go out there. You know, of course, the pit gate's open. I drive in there. Of course, they still haven't cleaned everything up. Well, Suzanne's fishing to kill me. I know she is. But I go in there, I take some pictures of this meteor, take some pictures of the transformer up there sitting on the pad deal. And I ride around and go around the backside, and I see some old tires laying out there. I said, Well, I drove over there, and I said, well, they just grooved up, but they're not in that bad of shape. Well, I ended up, you know, they were just going to, you know, the teams left, and they were going to throw them away. So I ended up, I got me four Hoosier dirt tires. Well, when I come home from lunch, I sit them in the driveway here beside where we come in, and it wasn't long after that I got a text. And I'm not going to say the exact words she said, but Suzanne texted me. She said, what in the blankety blank is this in my driveway? I said, uh-oh. But I got me four Hoosier dirt tires already grooved.
Well, that's the beginning of a race car, so and one of the most important parts. So there you go.
Oh, Lord, Ronnie. I can't afford race car. But anyway.
You got a year to get that thing ready for next year's asphalt.
Hey, yeah, well, I have already mentioned to a Cruz, Suzanne and I, we're thinking about buying a car, race on Friday nights out there, and I can't get in it because I had back surgery. I cannot get in a car. So Cruz said whenever he's not doing nothing, he might get into it, and I got Adam Gallagher, and I got a few drivers. So, yeah, you buy a car, we'll be glad to get in it. So I might get me a car just to have something to do, Ronnie.
That sounds like a plan. They race every Friday night over there at the short track, I think. So there you go.
There you go. I might even put Anna in it if she wants to come over.
I definitely would.
All right. I will definitely let you know. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for taking the time out. And y'all don't be strangers again. And we will talk to y'all whenever y'all get ready to come back on. We're signing off live from Talladega, Alabama, here in the Pit Stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. We'll see you next Tuesday night.
unbelievable.